Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spring begins on Monday, and we're going to talk about planting and the changing seasons and all kinds of things this morning. We have a number of guests that we'll introduce you to this morning to be along with us for the next hour. Guy Mussey is here. He's the Stafford Extension agent. Guy, it's good to have you in this morning. Good morning.
Thank you, Ted. I'm glad to be here.
We also have Ron Singleton. He's with the Master Gardeners Association. Ron, good to see you.
Thank you, Ted. Good to be
and,
here.
And Karen Brace is here. She is the person that we talked to a couple months ago and talked about the seed swap. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and find out what's ahead with that. Karen, good to have you here.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, Guy, let me start off with you. A lot of people may not be aware. Stafford County, Spotsylvania has one, has two. The Virginia Cooperative Extension Program is in every county in Virginia.
Yes, it is, and some of the cities as well.
Okay.
And I have each office has an ag agent, but we have different disciplines. And in Spotsylvania, it would be animal science. Mine is horticulture in Stafford. But we all serve Planning District 16, which is Caroline County, Spotsylvania, King George, and Stafford.
I'm sure you deal with a lot of questions. That you're sort of the answer man.
I guess so, Ted. I get calls, I get emails all the time, yes.
The Cooperative Extension Service is run through Virginia Tech, right?
That's right. That's the land-grant university in Virginia. And all states that have a land-grant university, well, they all do, have an extension office. Yes.
Your offices are, where are you located?
We're in the Rouser Building off Route 1 in Stafford.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's different than I thought. You used to be over
in Chatham,
yes. Manor, yeah. So Chatham, yes, you're over there. So I guess people can either call or they can stop in or
they can email me. Yes.
What's a day like for you? What are some of the things you do?
Absolutely hectic because I don't just help people and answer questions about their gardens, their trees, their shrubs, insects. I get all kinds of inquiries at, but I also teach classes right now. We're in the middle of a pesticide certification for a commercial applicator course that we're teaching. I teach master gardeners. I'm going to start a tree steward program. So I do a lot of teaching as well as diagnostics and helping with the general public.
Did the questions come earlier this year with the warmer weather we've had?
A few of them have, yes. I've gotten some questions on mainly on trees and what's wrong with them. And I tell them, well, it's still winter. No, I'm teasing. But I have gotten some question, yes.
With a lot of the trees, and I don't ever remember seeing some of these trees flowered by the middle of February. With the cold weather we had, is that going to affect anything this year?
Well, yes, it'll probably affect some of the flowering. You know, nature is a funny beast. It does things its own way. So I have learned to notice in nature what happens sequentially. And when nature throws you a curve like they did this year, things really go off. And it's very interesting, you know, because the forsythia was blooming a lot earlier than it normally does, which is one of the earliest bloomers. I also saw cherries blooming. And Bradford pears are just about done, and there's a sequence to that. So the really warm winter that we had and then this cold spell is going to affect when the buds start to break and then they freeze, that usually kills the flower. It doesn't really hurt the tree, but it can eliminate flowering, yes.
So it may not be quite as
pretty
this year. Well, will this affect the pollen at all? Or we see pollen earlier.
Yeah, well, if there's no flowers.
No pollen.
There's no pollen. So, yes.
Okay, so for people who suffer from that.
But that's only for plants that have started to break bud.
Okay.
There are plants that don't normally come out later, and they'll be fine.
What about fruit trees?
I don't think the fruit trees are swelling yet. Some of the early ones might be, but you know, it all depends on where you live. There's microclimates and different things. It's, you know, not usually area-wide. So some in certain areas may be breaking bud. If they have, the cold weather will affect them. If they're still tight buds and they haven't broken yet, then they should get through this.
I guess I'm asking you questions that people call and ask you all the time.
Yes.
The fact that, because you were talking about how you deal with horticulture, Spotsylvania deals with something different. Is that how it's sort of set up, or is it just because
the disciplines are according to what is predominant in that county?
Oh,
and
okay.
Since we are getting very residential and less rural here in Stafford, I'm the horticulture agent.
Okay.
But again, I answer questions and help people in Spotsylvania, Caroline, King George, as well as the city of Fredericksburg.
My wife is a lot of times asking questions of the Spotsylvania extension agent. I think a lot of people don't understand or realize that
they
extension
can come to
agents
me.
Are around.
And John Howe is the agent there in Spotsy. He just retired, as a matter of fact. But if he had a horticulture question that he couldn't answer, he would refer to me. And if I have a pasture question or horse question or something, I would refer to him. So we help each other out.
Well, and a lot of times and you kind of mentioned this, we tend to think this is such a, we're kind of an urban area.
Right.
People are involved in gardens and all kinds of things.
You get on the other side of Spotsy and Caroline, and you're very rural. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You head out toward Hartwood and everything, and it's a different even South Stafford this way from as you head towards King George.
Yes,
it changes.
Very rural. That's right.
How long have you been here?
I've been in extension for going on 16 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What got you involved in this?
I love plants, and I studied horticulture at Penn State, got a degree in that. I went to the University of Kentucky and got a degree in urban landscape entomology. Those are the bugs that eat my plants. And worked as a horticulturist at both Penn State and University of Kentucky. Went to South Florida for a while, was in charge of the grounds and landscaping. Loved academia, so I came back up here, and I missed the North as well. So, yeah.
Weather here is the weather here is a lot different than even you go an hour north or south, and it's considerably different.
Goodness, yes. I was at Penn State in Pennsylvania. You know, I'm Pennsylvanian, and there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, just this little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot warmer, a lot nicer. I'm not going to go any further north. That's my issue.
You do. You get here and you discover you don't want to go
that's
further
right.
north. We're gonna take a break and come back and get into and talk some about the Master Gardeners program. Ron Singleton's involved in that. Ron, what got you involved with? Have you always been a gardener at heart?
Well, I built my house about 30 years ago, and I was planting trees then, and shrubs were dying. I was wondering, why were they dying? So I started taking classes at Germanic Community College, got certified there after 3 years of classes, then took Guy's class, 50 hours of classroom work, and became a master gardener.
Okay.
But mainly just to stop killing the trees and the shrubs.
So, but you just kind of picked this up. This wasn't something that you'd always, since a kid, had wanted to grow stuff.
No, I'd done some vegetable gardening, but really being a homeowner puts you in a different field. And so just with that. And that's what most of the master gardeners are. They're helping people with their lawns and their landscape design, trees and shrubs, and giving advice.
And we'll get into all that too. Karen Brace also here with the seed swap. Karen, are you somebody who's always liked planting things and the outdoors?
I've always loved nature, but like Ron said, once you become a homeowner, you start to look at plants and trees and shrubs in a completely different way, and then you realize, or you start to wonder, why is this dying and what am I doing wrong or what could I do better? So I actually took Guy's Master Gardener course. I'm class of 2014, and it was just amazing. It's 12 weeks long.
Yeah.
And the amount of information that is presented in those 12 weeks it's astounding. And the more I learned, the more I realized I had no idea what I was doing.
Wow. Okay.
So, but it's a great way to point you in a direction of where to go for more information. It's a great course.
Guy, I feel like I'm the odd person out. I haven't taken your class here. when do you offer this class?
I usually offer it in the fall. It runs from mid-September through November. I try to finish up before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It's twice a week, 3 hours each class, so it gets pretty intense.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're welcome to do it.
I'm feeling like I'm really the odd person here today.
Actually, I do a mini Master Gardener class. I call it my landscaping course for the gardening novice in spring. It'll be starting in April. In the evenings, Thursday evenings.
Okay.
There's 8 of those classes. It's sort of a smaller Master Gardener class.
And if you're interested, contact the Stafford Extension office.
Yes, please.
658-8000.
Yes, sir.
Is the number, or you can check that out online. It is Guy Mussey here, the Extension Agent in Stafford. Ron Singleton is with the Master Gardeners Association. Karen Brace here, she's with Seed Swap. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's Council.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spring starts Monday. That's what we're talking about this morning. We are talking plants and getting ready for all of that. Ron Singleton with the Master Gardeners Association here. Guy Mussey is the Stafford Extension Agent, and Karen Brace, who is a Master Gardener, here this morning to talk about things. Guy, the Master Gardener program, is that's something that just kind of coordinated through your office, and you do some of the training and that kind of thing?
Yes, that it is a VCE program, Virginia Cooperative Extension. It's a program that run through Virginia Cooperative Extension, and it's statewide, so there's a state association as well.
I guess I should have known this, but on one of the handouts that I printed off, I kept returning to VCEMG, and I kept looking at that, thinking, "What in the world is that?" And you just now I realize
another
it's Virginia
acronym.
Cooperative Extension and Master Gardener. Ron Singleton is our Master Gardener here this morning. I assume you're a Master Gardener too, Guy. Are you?
Well, I teach the class. I've never taken it.
Oh, okay.
So technically, no, I'm a horticulturist, but, you know.
Well, Ron is the certified Master Gardener. Talk about some of the things you had to do to become a Master Gardener to where we could call you that.
Well, you do take Guy Mussey's class, you know, for 12 weeks, and there are tests in the class, and there are 50 hours of training. And so in order to become a Master Gardener, you talk with Guy and the Stafford office, sign up, take the class, and after you pass the test, you are required to do 50 hours of volunteer hands-on work in horticulture. And it's not just any project. It's a project that's approved by the Stafford office. For instance, we work with Chatham, the historic site there. And so it's can't just do gardening in the neighborhood. You've got to have work on a project like at Belmont, the Gary Melchers Museum, teaching in the schools. A lot of our outreach is to young people. So after 50 hours of classroom and 50 hours of volunteer work, then you become certified. And every year you have to be recertified with 20 hours of education or volunteer work and 8 hours of education. So it takes some work, but it's really a fun project.
You hear a lot in around here. I know you hear about Master Gardeners being involved in some of the places like you mentioned and others. That explains it. I never understood. I just thought it was you wanted to help, but you're also doing it. What a great program though, because you're learning this, but then you're also applying it to a lot of these places.
And we have about 100 active members who have been gone through Guy Mussey's class and become recertified with their volunteer work and education hours. So it's quite an outreach effort, and we're required to be of service to the community. We're there as resource individuals to answer questions and our outreach. Our plant clinics, for instance, are one of our biggest programs. You've probably heard about booths at the farmers markets, the Fredericksburg farmers markets, Spotsylvania Route 3 farmers market, Stafford. We'll have a table set up there, and people can bring plants that they have questions about. What's eating my holly or something? What bug is this? Well, we'll answer the question. If we don't know, we take a sample and take it to Guy's office, and if they don't know, they'll send it to Virginia Tech and have it analyzed. So we're there as a resource, but we have contact with thousands of people every spring, summer, and fall through our plant clinics.
So, and Do you have a schedule of where you have these?
Yes, we sign up with the farmers markets.
Okay.
We'll put a tent up and our table and have our literature there. We'll have soil sample boxes, and that's a big project too, telling people about how important it is to have their soil analyzed. They can do that themselves after getting the box. Send in, I think it's a $10 fee. Send it to Virginia Tech, and within a few weeks you can get the analysis back. And be told whether to put nitrogen on or whatever, and that's really good for the environment. We're not putting too much too much nitrogen in the soil and in the river. So that's our whole idea, is to take care of the environment.
Currently, Ted, we have about 8 plant clinics throughout the planning district, and they run according to the weather and the season. So some run year-round, but usually it's from April to October and that. And we'll have them at libraries, we have them at the farmers markets, and it's sort of an outreach. VCE is about education, and so the idea is to help people with their issues in their gardens and in their homes with insects and things, and it kind of extends my arm a little bit in educating. That's the idea.
Overall, I know in a lot of areas, the soil around here does suffer just because of the subdivisions being built and things like that.
Do you think so, Ted?
Just a little.
I get calls on that all the time. The soil is, we have a heavy clay soil, mainly acidic. That's why we grow so many nice azaleas and rhododendrons in this area.
Yeah.
Yes. And so there's if you want to grow turf, which is not native to Virginia, you better do something else to that soil, yes.
And in a lot of cases, I probably need to get one of these kits and do something with, because you try over and over again to get grass to grow and it never gets anywhere.
I'll bring you one tomorrow, Ted, and I'll help you out with it.
In most cases, what do you recommend for? Do people end up having to put something in the soil to help things grow?
Well, mainly in a turf area, I actually have a program called Smart Green Lawns where clients will come in, homeowners will come in, pay a small fee, and I actually train master gardeners to go out to their house, measure their yards, take soil samples and pictures and evaluate it, talk to the homeowner, and then after I get the soil sample back and the results, I write a 5-page report specific for that homeowner on how to get their turf looking good and still be environmentally safe about it. Through that, I've done several hundred of those in the last couple of years, and everyone has a soil test done. So the pH is pretty much low. It's pretty acidic.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you got to do something. Usually it's adding lime and compost and other things.
Lime. I've done that before.
Yes.
And compost is, I do that on the side too, and I know that that will help.
Well, in my day, compost was just used in gardens.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we recommend you put it on your turf, and it really builds up the tilth of the soil and it gives you a strong turf, yes.
Oh, okay. Because that's all I do. I do just do it in the garden, but I never thought about using it because I got some patches.
Well, now you know better.
Yeah. put it to use. We are talking, getting ready for spring here and talking plants and things this morning on a News Talk 1230 WFVA. Ron, I know there's May 20th, there's an all-day gardening symposium at UMW.
Yes, that's one of our largest programs of the year. It's an all-day program. This is our fifth year. And we'll have, we bring in national figures in to speak. There is a registration fee, but it's open to the public. It starts at 8:30. We'll have Dr. Robert Lyons coming in as our leadoff speaker. He is the founder of the, or co-founder of the Hahn Garden at Virginia Tech, a very, very famous botanical garden there.
Yeah.
And is probably best known for being in charge of the graduate program in horticulture at Longwood Gardens in Pennsylvania. So he is coming from his home in Pennsylvania to speak and talk about perennials. And we have the director of horticulture from the Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens in Richmond, Grace Elton, coming to speak. And she's going to talk about native plants and pollinators. So it really is a good program. And then we also have, at the end of the day, it's become traditional for Guy Mussey to lead a tree walk around the Mary Washington campus. There's such beautiful trees and shrubs there. And that's always popular. Everyone usually stays for that. And that's about an hour-long tree walk. So it's a full day, and it's great for the general interest gardener to come in and learn about what plants to use and have questions answered. We have about we have 140 seats, so there is limited seating. You can a person can go to our website, which is the letters of our name. It's the MAGRA, MGACRA.org. That's Master Gardeners Association of the Central Rappahannock Area. Go to that website, and we have the brochure and registration form for that.
Again, that's May the 20th at UMW, a full-day event, MGACRA.org.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Is the website to find out more information, and I guess find out more information on just Master Gardeners and
yes.
some of the things that
about how to become a Master Gardener, for instance. Yeah. That's on the front page, the home page, that says how you can become a Master Gardener, and anyone can become a Master Gardener. You don't have to be an expert in plants. It's really for someone who wants to learn more about gardening,
yeah.
horticulture.
And I guess this is the kind of thing you can start at any age.
Absolutely. Yeah, you really can. A lot of the folks are retirees because they can have more time to volunteer
yeah.
and go out and help with lawns and other projects. But it's really any age group. Just have to have an interest in learning more about gardening. And if you go through the class that Guy Mussey teaches, do the volunteer hours, then you can, it's really an opportunity to learn from that point on and to help others.
And Ron Singleton, you have clearly the most cool lanyard I have ever seen.
Yes.
That says Master Gardener, and then you've got your name tag to it.
I've got some bling on here, too, saying 1,000 hours of volunteer service and a 2,000-hour pin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for your service and learning all kinds about Master Gardeners and plants this morning. Ron Singleton here, Guy Mussey here, Karen Brace here. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spring begins Monday. We are talking plants with Stafford Extension agent Guy Mussey, Master Gardener Association President Ron Singleton, and Master Gardener Karen Brace here this morning. As we talk about just the warmer weather, getting out and doing things. Ron, I'll start with you on this one, and I guess it's something you and Guy probably, any of you can probably jump in and talk about. The Kasi Botanical Park, where is it? What is it?
And Guy is the expert there, but Master Gardeners help maintain it. It's on Little Page Street, Guy, in the intersection there, it's the old water treatment plant in the
yeah.
city of Fredericksburg,
yeah.
kind of near the Kenmore Avenue tennis courts, just down from that. But it's a botanical garden that Guy Mussey and the Master Gardeners created a few years ago, and it's quite a project. Maybe Guy should answer.
Yeah, I'll just give you just a brief history of it. I have been doing plant identification courses where we're walking on campus,
mm-hmm.
and after several years, I figured I need another place. I need something to show some really neat plants, odd plants, plants that people might like. And I looked all over the counties, couldn't find a place, and then we found where the old Kasi filtration plant was at the end of Kenmore, actually. It was, you know, that there was some land there. So we put together a proposal, a design, made it to the city council, got a unanimous approval to start planting there. All the money that goes in that is soft money. There's nothing budgeted from any localities, and it's donation money. We have over 120 some plants there now, and some of those are starting to mature.
Okay.
It's more like a botanical zoo than a botanical park because I love plants, and there's just such an eclectic group of plants there that it's not, the design isn't done to look beautiful, although the plants themselves do. But it's there for teaching. Everything is marked. We do programs, and it's part of my plant ID class. I take the class down there for ID as well.
So it's something that if I want to just wander over there,
it's passive. You can go down there. We have mulch paths. It doesn't cost anything, obviously. It's open. And if you see an interesting plant, there should be a tag on there that will tell you a little bit about it.
Okay. I'm over there a lot, and I guess I have just missed it every time.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. So is it involved at all with Historic Garden Week comes up in May around here. Are you involved in that at all?
We haven't been, but this year we were asked to put it on the tour. So it will be part of that this year, yes.
Okay. So we've
now. And I have Master Gardeners going to be down there, and we'll have tents set up. And give tours of the park as well.
Okay, it's the Kasi Botanical Park. I'll have to make my way over there and post some pictures of that and let people know it's there because I've been over there before.
Well, I'd appreciate it. It's a great education tool.
Yeah, and what a perfect spot for it too.
Yeah, right.
Guy Mussey here, Ron Singleton, Karen Brace on the program this morning. We hear a lot about plant diseases, and a lot of these diseases, I know the emerald ash borer is a problem in the Midwest. Is that becoming a problem here?
Well, first of all, the emerald ash borer is an insect pest. Yeah. And yes, it is becoming a problem. You're right. It's killed millions of ash trees in Michigan and Illinois, and it's moved into Virginia. It's coming down from the north. We have it in Stafford, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, it's one of those exotic pests that once they get started, just like the gypsy moth did years ago, will destroy large areas of certain types of plants. In this case, it would be the ash, American and the green ash.
So there's nothing we can do about it now, now that it's here?
Well, if you have ash trees, you need to monitor, and there are pheromone traps and all to catch them to see if they're there. And if you do have trees and they get them, you need to remove them immediately and then dispose of them so they won't get out of that tree and infest others.
Remove the trees.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty catastrophic, actually.
If you're in an area of the country where this is a problem, you go and there's just what used to be a forest, it's gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when I heard that it was starting to show up here, you worry about that.
And if it does in certain areas, the USDA can and will enact quarantines, which means that no firewood can go out of a certain area, so that you can't carry it to other parts of the country.
Any other major insects or diseases that are threats around here?
Do you have a couple hours?
there's that many.
There's always something there going to eat your plants. You know, we've had the last few years cankerworm in the spring has the fall cankerworm, and yet it does its damage in the spring. Will denude your trees in no time. I get calls all the time in the spring about their oak trees and all that. That's a big issue. Of course, we're all familiar with the Japanese beetle every year, which can devastate your roses and your gardens. Eastern tent caterpillar. And, some of these things go in cycles, Ted. So, one year they'll be really bad. I remember a few years ago, the eastern tent caterpillar was falling out of the trees. It was like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You'd step on them. You couldn't help. And I did an article in the paper about it the next year. And the next year they were there, but not near as bad. So there are cycles to these.
You mentioned the gypsy moths because, boy, years ago in the 80s, 90s, that was just a huge topic. Is they a problem anymore?
They are still a problem.
Really?
They were at one time considered the worst insect pest in the United States in the forested areas, and they still are. And again, they have those ups and downs. There are some things that scientists have come up with, some pheromone things that they can put out to confuse the males and to help keep the numbers down. There are some diseases that attack them. But we still have a gypsy moth coordinator in Stafford County in our office, which helps keep track of them, yes. But they are still a problem.
Okay.
More so in the wild or forested areas up in the mountains.
I guess if they've been around here that long, I guess we're just learning to live with them?
Well, and they're learning to live with us.
Yeah.
And like any exotic pest that comes in that is not native to that area, there are, at that point, so for a while at least, there are no controls, no natural controls. And that's when they go crazy. But usually something will catch up with them in
okay.
time.
Okay. So how did they get here? Did they just keep getting here on cars coming
in? Oh, it's an
in,
interesting or? Story. It was back in the 1800s. They wanted to start a silk industry in Massachusetts. So they brought in gypsy moss to mate with them to get a hardier silkworm. And in the lab they had, of course, they didn't have air conditioning. The windows were up, and two escaped. Guess what gender they were?
Oh, no.
That's where they came from. From there, they just...
From just those two?
Yes.
I never heard that story.
Well, now you know the rest of the story.
Boy, that shows that kind of thing. You do that kind of thing, and what can happen?
Oh, it can be a mess, yes.
Wow. Guy Mussey, Ron Singleton, Karen Brace here. Ron, we talked about master gardeners. I have heard, and I know a lot of times young people, a lot of kids are involved in this kind of program. Do you kind of try to bring kids along?
That's really important, bringing along that next generation of master gardeners and gardeners in general. So a lot of our outreach is to young people, and we spend a lot of time going into the schools when we're invited to give a presentation to elementary schools or whatever. We'll do that. And in some of the schools, we actually have a garden at the school site, and master gardeners help train the students to develop those gardens. So outreach to young people is a major effort.
We also have a junior master gardener program, Ted, and one going on right now in Stafford, where master gardeners are running the program. I just visited with them last week and talked to them about insects. But they go through, not as astringent or strict, and it's not a volunteer thing, but it is a junior master gardener program to get the kids involved in plants and the environment.
Again, the number for the Stafford Extension Office, 540-658-8000, 540-658-8000. And to find out more about the Master Gardener Program, mgacra.org is the number for that.
What's
and
that?
And to get involved in that. You have a lot of members? A lot of people are master gardeners around here?
Over 100 active members. And so it's a good-sized organization. But it serves a wide area. We've got the city of Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania County, Stafford County, Caroline County, and King George County, which might have a population of, 300,000 or so?
Yeah.
So that's our region. It's Planning District 16 that we serve. And anyone from any of those four counties in the city of Fredericksburg can become a master gardener. And those can also draw on the Guy's office and our resources to help them with their horticulture questions.
I guess, Guy, the master gardeners are really just kind of a right arm for you to be able to do a lot of things.
That's exactly why the whole program started in the 70s back in Oregon, where the extension agent couldn't keep up with all the questions and issues.
Huh.
So the idea came out, train some people in these fields that can help answer questions and help me. And you're right, it's the extension of me, yes.
Yeah. Karen, you're here as a master gardener, but also I was became acquainted to you over the winter because over the winter you had a seed swap.
Right.
On a Saturday. Talk about what that was, because I know that was a wildly popular event.
It was. It was January 28th at the Headquarters Library in downtown Fredericksburg, Old Town Fredericksburg.
Mm-hmm.
It was our first ever seed swap, so we weren't exactly sure how it was going to go. We had three wonderful speakers, and it was a great success. We had a lot of people from the community that came in. We had other master gardeners. There was kids there. We had actually, I think, a better response than I think even we had initially thought that there would be. A lot of local merchants came together and donated items for our raffle. We had actually two big tables of raffle items. People from the community brought books, plants, gardening supplies, and of course, seeds. We actually had three tables of seeds that were available for swapping. So if people had saved seeds during the fall and could bring them in, swap them for other seeds, it's a great way to increase the biodiversity of plants in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a great, great success.
So I guess you're probably thinking of one for next year.
We are certainly thinking of one for next year. It'll be January Well, I'm not sure what it will be, actually. It's the last Saturday in January is always National Seed Swap Day.
Okay.
So, again, it'll be posted on our website. And most likely will be in the same location.
Okay. It sounds like the kind of thing that goes way back in time of where people would get together and swap seeds.
Absolutely. It has a great historical relevance, and that's why we have such a diversity of plants. Now, seeds used to be currency. You know, they were highly prized and valued items.
Well, and you've made the seed swap, not only a seed swap, but just you can share information and share a lot of things.
Right. We had a couple of information tables at the swap. One was people could come and pick up free seed catalogs, free information. A lot of our sponsoring organizations sent us not only catalogs and information, but sort of how-to flyers and brochures. There was also a master gardener table set up, sort of like at our plant clinics, where people could ask questions like Ron said, what's killing my plant, or how do I do this, or how do I do that? There was information there on how to become a master gardener. Obviously, it was staffed by volunteer master gardeners, so there was no shortage of master gardener knowledge and help at the seed swap.
All kinds of great information at mgacra.org. That is the Master Gardener's website, or you can call the Stafford Extension office at 658-8000. Ron Singleton, Guy Mussey, Karen Brace here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Extension Agent Guy Mussey here, along with Ron Singleton with the Master Gardeners Association and Master Gardener Karen Brace here this morning. It is spring begins on Monday. Any words of wisdom, Guy, for someone who's... The great thing about plants are you can have a yard and do all kinds of things, but you can have an apartment and put things in the window. You can always plant.
You can plant just about anywhere and get things to grow. You just need to know what you're doing. And, you know, the final wisdom on that is just make sure you plant the green side up.
Plant the green side up. That would work. That would definitely work. A couple other things before we get out of here. Ron, I understand there is something called Master Gardener College.
Yes, it's a college that master gardeners go to at Virginia Tech every summer. Can sign up for that. It's 3 to 5 days long, the continuous lectures by professors at Virginia Tech on horticultural topics and other experts. But it's a way to keep master gardeners informed and up to date on current information about horticulture. So that's a big part of what we do, and that's why we have these two components of education requirement and volunteer.
Yeah, no, I guess that's something that's all you master gardeners get together and so you're not this. You're not a team. This is not going to make. You're not going to be in the college football playoff or anything.
No,
Master Gardener College.
Probably 500 people there. So it's a big program.
That's that many. So there's a lot of people in the state are involved.
Thousands.
So interesting stuff. One of the things we didn't talk about: boxwood workshops that you guys do, and that's over the holidays.
Yes, that's actually one of our big fundraisers, our only real fundraiser that we have. But we do it's education and outreach. But training people in the Fredericksburg area how to make a boxwood Christmas wreath or centerpiece. And so there's an educational component about how to put that together. And then after the workshop, the participants get to take that wreath or centerpiece home with them. So that's a big project. And every year we donate at least $500 or more to the Causey Botanical Park and use the funds to help in the community. We provide scholarships to the 4-H clubs in the area. Other scholarships.
MGACRA.org for the Master Gardeners group around here is a good place to watch for these yes. things. And you mentioned earlier May 20th, this the all day gardening symposium at UMW is coming up, and that has a lot of speakers and a lot of things going on.
Yes, open to the public, and hope people can come to that.
So check out the website. Karen, as somebody who's a master gardener and involved in all this stuff, it must be exciting to go around and do some of these programs and have other people then get excited about it.
Right. When I first started as a master gardener, and I was looking at how do I get my 50 hours of volunteer time in, the first thought is 50 hours is a lot. How am I ever going to do this in a year? But once you get into learning about the different projects, for me at least, it was a problem of how do I not sign up and volunteer for everything? There's plant clinics. There are butterfly gardens at assisted living facilities and, senior facilities. And there are all different sorts of education, opportunities out there working at some of the beautiful historic gardens in the area. So for me, at least, it became a matter of trying to pick and choose and kind of, limit myself. I think I had... my 50 hours of mandatory volunteer time, I think, in my first year turned into 150 because I wanted to do everything. And I think that's pretty common for new master gardeners. And eventually you kind of find your niche and what you want to do and what you're more interested in. So it really is a great educational opportunity.
Well, and you go into it, I guess, knowing you wouldn't have gotten into it if you're not interested in it. But I guess all of a sudden you get into it and you see how wide the field is.
Exactly. It's not just about learning about plants and trees and flowers. You learn about insects and disease and compost, fertilizers, chemicals. So it's a really wide-reaching program. There's a lot of information.
And Guy, you mentioned that the Master Gardener class you teach in the fall, but you also have one in a smaller class in the spring?
Yes, and that's mainly for people that, have jobs during the day. It's held in the evening.
Okay.
So if you're a career person, have a job, and you can't take it, or you don't have the time for volunteers, there's no volunteer requirement. It's horticultural knowledge, landscaping knowledge and all, that we do Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30 starting in April, 8 consecutive Thursday evenings.
And for information on that, just in order to sign up, contact the Stafford Extension office.
You can do that or you can email me.
658-8000. Your email is?
Gmussey, that's Gmussey, at VT, for Virginia Tech, VT.edu.
We are out of time. When we come, next time you come back, I want to talk to you, Guy, about what's a nice guy like you hanging around Madagascar hissing cockroaches. But we are out of time. Ron Singleton, Guy Mussey, Karen Brace, thank you all for coming. Good stuff.
Thank you, Ted.
Enjoyed
it.
That's it for Town Talk. See you next time on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.